To the book of Isaiah, chapter number 38. And if I have trouble finding my place this morning, it's because Ellie pulled all the bookmarkers out of my Bible. I think she left one or two in there somewhere, but Raymond was talking about she was over there and had her hands raised up. That I saw that too. That really blessed my heart. And so we praise the Lord for that. But Isaiah chapter number 38. Now, I've preached this message before in 2012. And I really desire your prayers. It's harder for me to preach a message I've preached before than it is to preach a new message. But I've wanted to preach this again since I preached it the first time. But I just never have had the liberty to do that. But I think here on the last day of the year, the Lord will give me the liberty to preach this message again, which I have, as I've said, preached before. You'll probably recognize it. More people have mentioned it to me over the years than probably any other message that I've preached. And not that it's great because I preached it, but it's a great thing to think about. So let's just start reading in Isaiah chapter number 38, verses 1 through 5, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Some of you will remember it, some of you won't, some of you have never heard it before, but let's just pray that the Lord would make it new to our hearts today. Isaiah chapter 38, verse number 1, the Bible said, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Let's pray. Lord, I come today and I want to thank you for your blessings and I want to thank you for your word. And Lord, as we come together on this last Sunday of the year, I pray and ask that you would be with all of our many objects of prayer. And Lord, you know what they are. We pray for Jessica and her family and their new baby, and we know they've had a sort of a rough start, but Lord, we just pray that you'd just continue to touch and bless there and everything and be all right with them and their health. And we pray for Brother Melvin and God's sister Margaret that you'd be with and help them. We pray for those that have lost loved ones. We pray, Lord, that you would help and be with and comfort them at this time. And Lord, we just thank you for all the many blessings you've given to us. I pray you'd bless your word and help it to speak to our hearts and just help us in our lives, something, Lord, that maybe we can even use to think about all year long and, Lord, apply it to our hearts. So help us today. We'll thank you for all that you do. We ask for the help of the Holy Spirit and for great liberty to preach thy word. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. And so we're going to start this morning in verse number 5. If you were paying attention as we read the scripture already, you saw that the Lord told Hezekiah he's going to die. And Hezekiah, of course, like any of us, he wasn't thrilled with that news. And he prayed and he talked to the Lord. And in verse number 5, we find that the Lord sent word by his prophet back to Hezekiah. Verse 5, God told Isaiah, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And if you know anything about the kings of the Bible, and you think about the great kings of Israel, you think about David, of course he would be at the top of the list, but Hezekiah would be very near the top of that list. Hezekiah was a good king. Hezekiah was a godly king. And if you look in verse number 3, when Hezekiah prayed to the Lord and he said, I beseech thee how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. Hezekiah was not exaggerating when he said that. Hezekiah was true to all these things. Hezekiah really tried in his life to follow the Lord and do what's right. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 2 says about Hezekiah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. And during Hezekiah's lifetime, if we studied about it this morning, you would find that there were reforms that he put into place. There was a revival in Hezekiah's day. There were victories over their enemies. There were great building projects which Hezekiah was in charge of and brought to pass. And Hezekiah was a good king, good for the nation, good moral king, a king that tried to do right in the sight of the Lord. Of course, he wasn't perfect. None of us are. He had problems along the way. But here in verse number 1, we find that Hezekiah gets news that he's going to die. And this news doesn't come from the doctor, but it comes straight from the Lord. The Bible said in verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And so the Lord sent him word by Isaiah, you're going to die. You're not going to live. This is a sickness unto death. Well, Hezekiah would be like all of us. He's not ready. If you've ever been in that situation to hear bad news from the doctor, you know nobody wants to die. And nobody wants to hear that news. Nobody wants to hear cancer. Nobody wants to hear heart problems or something like that. What did Hezekiah do? He did what a lot of us would. We'd do the same thing. In verse number 2, the Bible said Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. He's laying on his deathbed. He's sick unto death. He turns over to the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He prays. He asks God to spare him during that time. And the Lord sends word again, and he does that very thing. And we've read in verse number 5, the Lord sent back to Isaiah, or through Isaiah, and said, I've heard thy prayer, I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And so Hezekiah was going to die, but he prayed, and God heard his prayer, and God said, all right, I'm not going to let you die, but I'm going to add 15 years to your life. And what I want to preach on this morning is the subject of bonus days. Hezekiah was going to die, but God gave him 15 extra years. All those days were bonus days in his life. And I thought to myself, how would a person live? And this is what we're going to find out from this passage of Scripture. How would a person live? How would a man, how would a woman live if they knew they had 5,400 extra days? Now that's based on Jewish calendar, not our calendar. They went on their 360 day year. And so that's what that comes out to, 5,400 extra days, 15 extra years. Now, on one hand, that seems like, well, boy, that's a long time. But on the other hand, the older you are, you know how true this is, that's not very long at all. Just to put it into perspective, this coming year, we will have been here. I will have been pastor of Mount Lebanon Baptist Church for 15 years this coming year. On one hand, that doesn't seem like a very long time. That's not a long time. 15 years, if you divided that out over the time period of 15 years, if you slept a regular 8-hour night, you would sleep 43,200 hours. You sleep a third of your life away if you sleep 8 hours a day. That's just on average. So you'd sleep a lot of that time. Over 15 years, if you ate 3 meals a day, you would eat 16,200 meals. But you add in Christmas and Thanksgiving and all that, you probably eat more than that. over a time period of 15 years, if you went to church and heard two messages a week, you would hear 1,542 sermons in 15 years. And that's about right. But here's something that's sad. The average American watches 5 hours of TV a day and spends another hour on the internet. You would have spent on watching TV and the internet in 15 years over 27,000 hours. That's almost eight times more than if you went to church two times a week. Just to put it into perspective, what does 15 years add up to? Sounds like a long time, but it's really not a long time. Hezekiah knew from this day forward that he was going to have 15 more years to live. Now, none of us knows if we'll be here tomorrow. So we might say Hezekiah was lucky, but I don't believe in luck, and I don't think I would want to know. I don't think I'd want to know if I had 5 years or 5 days or 15 years or whatever the case might be, but he knew. Here's what I'm saying this morning. We do not know if we have 15 more years. Proverbs 27 in verse number 1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for a man knoweth not what a day may bring forth." We don't even know what tomorrow holds. James 4 and 14 says that your life is as a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We don't know personally. We don't know locally what might happen in the next 15 years. Kim and I were talking this past week, and you know, it's been raining again, and when it rains, it comes into our basement, and it just doesn't hurt anything because it goes back out the drain, but I'll tell you, it's just aggravating. It's just aggravating, those of you that have a basement and you've ever had that happen, but that same day we saw on the news where people had their cars washed away and they had their homes flooded and they were walking in water being rescued, and we said, you know, that's aggravating, but it could be a whole lot worse, and it might be us next time that has trouble like that. We just don't know. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know personally. We don't know locally. We don't know nationally what's going to happen. You know, you would think that our nation, we could get to a point where we could have some better days, seems like, but it seems like there's always the dark cloud and the gloom doom, and you know, catastrophe is always just right around the corner all the time. If it's not one thing, it's another thing. There's a lot of people in the world hates us. We could have war. That could change every one of our lives and how we live and what we think is important and has to be done. That could all be turned upside down in a short period of time. You say, "Preacher, that couldn't happen." Well, it's happened in other countries and it's happened in the past. It happened during World War II. It happened during World War I. And it's happened many times. It could happen to us. So we don't know. None of us knows what tomorrow brings. But here's what I want us to think about. It's not happened today. We're all here today. We're all safe. We're all warm. As far as we know, we have our health. We had strength to come to church. And so these terrible things, bad things, hasn't happened today. Today is a bonus day. And every normal day is a bonus day in our lives. I'll never forget, I went to the bank several years ago now, and it was actually Preacher Derek Wilson's daughter, and I would go to her. You know, you go to the same person when you go to the bank if you can. And I went up to Sister Amber and, you know, "How's your day?" And she said, "It's just a normal day." And I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, a normal day is a good day. A normal day means that you haven't got one of those calls that something is bad wrong. And a normal day, you know, a normal day is a good day. That's a bonus day that God has given us in our lives. And so how did Hezekiah, if we look at his life and his example, and he knows he's got 15 extra years, how is he going to spend his bonus days? Number one, and I think I got five things this morning. Number one, bonus days are days of innovation. Look at verse number 9, what the Bible says. The Bible says, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. What I noticed, when Hezekiah got better and got where he could, the first thing that he did, he began to write. As far as I know, we don't have very much that Hezekiah wrote, but what he writes right here is sort of like a song or a psalm or a poem. He writes down the things that he has been going through. It's different from anything else that we know that has been written by him. And as I think about this, I think about Hezekiah gets better and he says to himself, you know, I've been the king and I've been really busy, but I've always wanted to write some things down. Sort of like when you hear about somebody that says, I've always wanted to write a book. Or I've always wanted to write my life story. I know some people that have written books and have written down their life story. For you to write something down, it doesn't necessarily have to be published and into a book. But there are those that are going to come after you. They'd like to know some things about you. Writing things down is not bad. Hezekiah said, I need to write some things down. I need to write some things about what the Lord has done in my life. And I think sometimes in our lives we get so busy and we get so caught up in what we're doing. We spend our life and we come near the end and we say, you know, I wish I'd have done this or I wish I'd have done that. I wish I'd have learned to play an instrument. I wish I'd have written down my life story. I wish I'd have read my Bible through. It's the end of the year or the beginning of the next year, and that's when I'm going to encourage you. If you've never read your Bible all the way through, you really ought to read your Bible all the way through. This is a good time of the year to think about doing that. If on January the 1st you start reading 3 chapters a day, you will read your whole Bible through in a year. Now, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to die one of these days, or rapture is going to happen, you're going to go to heaven, wouldn't it be a shame to go to heaven and stand before the Lord and know that He's given you His perfect book and you never even read the whole thing? I've preached that for a long time. I preached that at Forest Grove, and Kim's mama, I guess she was up in her late 80s or 90s, and she used to read all the time. We went over there one time, and she was reading the Bible, and we was talking about that, and she said, I decided I was going to read my Bible all the way through. I'd never read it all the way. It didn't take her a year. It took her a couple of months, I think, but she sat down and read the Bible. She was that old and had never read the Bible all the way through. So when we think about the days that we have, you say, I'd like to do this or I'd like to do that. You better get to doing it. Or you're going to run out of days one of these days. People say all the time, I'd like to go on a mission trip. I think everybody ought to go on a mission trip. Ought to go somewhere and experience how other people live and the things that they go through, that helps us appreciate what the Lord's done for us, if nothing else. Helps us to have a burden for others and where they live and what they're going through. But Hezekiah in his life, he got sick, but he got better. He had a wake-up call in his life. And as soon as he did, he began to write some things down. You know, it's sort of sad, but a lot of times what it takes to get us out of our comfort zone is it takes a sickness or a tragedy come along in our life, and then we say, boy, I need to do different. There's something I want to do. If I'm going to do it, I need to accomplish that. And so sometimes God will allow something to come into our life, and it makes us realize what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 9, that we spend our years as a tale that is told. What's that mean? Life gets gone. And it gets gone in a hurry, and I can't believe how fast life goes by. And I've heard it all my life, and I'm experiencing it now. The older you get, the faster it goes, seems like. It's all the same. How old do you have to get before it gets to flying by? I think you have to get to about 20 or 21. And then it starts flying by. And I think the reason for that is because as you're growing up, you're waiting for these things to happen that seem to be major things in your life. I want to get 13, and I just can't wait to be a teenager. And then you can't wait to drive, and then you get to where you can drive, and then in about 6 months, you don't want to drive no more. The novelty's worn off of that, and then you want to graduate high school, and then you want to graduate college, and then you just go to work. And it just gets to fly. And you get married and you have children and you see how fast they grow up. And I'm telling you, life gets gone. John 9:4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The Lord Jesus knew that he only had a short time to work. And he better work while I'm here and work while I can. And it was days of inspiration, and Hezekiah said, I want to write some things down. And look in verse number 15. It was days of introspection. What happened to him caused him to take a real serious, sober look at his life. And he said in verse number 15, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Now, we'll read some other verses here, but what Hezekiah is saying is that I am a changed man. I've got a new attitude. Things are going to be different now. He had had this major, almost catastrophe come in his life. I mean, the Lord told him, you're going to die. Talk about a wake-up call. He prayed, he cried, he didn't want to die. God said, all right, I'm going to give you 15 more years. He says, I'm going to go softly all the days of my life. I am a changed man because of what happened to me. Sometimes the Lord allows things to come into our life to cause us to inspect or introspection in our lives and really think about our lives. And Kim and I were talking this morning and, you know, just summer before last on June the 6th. You know, June the 6th is D-Day. I'll never forget that because it was D-Day. That was when the Allied forces, the anniversary of them invading Normandy, and that was called D-Day. That was the day we found out, well, they told her at first that she had stomach cancer. We had no idea that was coming at us. We thought, and it wasn't stomach cancer, it was stomach lymphoma, which is the same thing. But anyway, you talk about a punch in the gut. You get that call and you sit down and talk about, and we were talking this morning, look how good God is. These are bonus days. I'll tell you, when things like that happen in your life, it makes you, if you're wise, you'll sit up and pay attention and it'll dawn on you, we're not going to be here forever. We're going to be here a short period of time. We better make the best of it. We'd better make the most of it. We'd better keep our lives inspected before the Lord. We don't know how long we're going to be here. That is up to the Lord, but we are responsible for how we spend our lives. God forbid that we would just waste our lives. And do you know how many people go through life hating life? Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? I saw somebody yesterday and they had a saying on a sticker and it said, I hope this kills me. And it had a picture of they smoking something. I don't know what it was, but I saw that and I thought, that is so sad. That is so sad. There's people go through life all the time hating life. And I'm telling you this morning, your life, it's a gift of the Lord. Today is a gift of the Lord. Today is a bonus day. And what we need to do is not go through life hating life. I can't wait till this is over. I can't wait to get beyond this. When I was in the Air Force, they sent me to England. Kim and I were in England for 3 years. Most people that were there spent every day hating it and just wishing for the day they could go back to America. Didn't enjoy it at all. 3 whole years. Some people there for a year, 2 years, 3 years. I look back on that now. What an opportunity that was. We got to visit all these countries, meet all these different people, have friends now that were met then. That's where she got saved. That's where the Lord called me to preach. Those are great days. But today is great days too. Don't spend your life hating, waiting, wishing it was over, wishing you was beyond where you are now. Inspect your life. David said, or Moses said in Psalms 90 and 12, he prayed, he said, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You're only going to be here a certain amount of days. Better make the best of it. Apply your heart unto wisdom. Inspect your life, where you are with the Lord. Do you know the Lord? What would happen to you if you died? Days of introspection. Number 3, days of inspiration. He was inspired because of what happened to him. Look at verse number 16. He said, "O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live." He's writing shortly after he got sick. "So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back, for the grave cannot praise thee." He said, if I'd have died, I couldn't praise you. "Death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day." Do you notice what he's writing about? Look at verse 19 again. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Did Hezekiah have anything to praise the Lord for? He sure did. He said, if I'd have died, I couldn't do it. I couldn't praise you. If I'd have went down into the pit, I would be silent. But the living can praise thee. And he said, I'm going to praise you. I like what it says in verse number 19. As I do this day. He said, I'm going to praise you today. Wouldn't that be a good verse to live by and come back to every day? The living praise thee as I do this day. If you want an adjustment in attitude in your life, try this. Try praising the Lord. I know things are dark and bad and difficult and all those things, but no matter what we're going through in our lives, praise will help you. And Hezekiah said, I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to praise Him for what He's done for me. Psalms 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thine diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Hezekiah said, I'm going to praise you. I really enjoyed that this morning when the choir was singing about praising the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands to heaven and praise the Lord. And there were some in the choir that began to raise their hand and praise the Lord. And little Ellie was sitting over here with us, and maybe she thought they were waving to her. I don't know, but you know what she did? She started waving back and praising the Lord. And I'll tell you, that blessed my heart. That blessed me a lot. I thought about, here's a little girl. And Brother Stephen has testified many times about how that I'd preached a message about, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And God used that message that the Lord gave to me, and God used the message and spoke to their heart and gave them courage. You know, when everybody else is telling us not to have children, we want to have children and we're just going to trust the Lord. And they did. And now There she sat on the pew beside me this morning. That blessed my heart. Sitting there waving and praising the Lord. We ought to praise the Lord every day. Because I'll tell you, even as bad as it can get, there's always somebody else that's far worse off than we are. Praise is like, you know, when you go through the cold, hard winter and those first warm days and you see that it's going to be springtime before long. That's what praise does to a cold heart. It blows on our heart and it lets us know, hey, everything's going to be all right. God's good. You say, preacher, I just can't find or think about anything to praise about. Sometimes we really have to think about it. I did a challenge where I tried to think of something new every day to be thankful for. 365 days of gratitude. You know, it's easy for a week or two to be thankful for something. Well, I'm thankful today for food and my family and the Lord. But you get to spreading that out over 365 days and trying to think about something different to praise the Lord for, to be thankful for, it'll really test you. But it'll really help you too. That'd be a good thing to do. New year, write something down every day you're thankful for. Don't repeat if you can help it. There are 365 different things to be thankful for and praise the Lord for. He's good. And a lot of times, most of the time, it's not great big things, but it's just little things God does that shows you He loves you. And He's not forgotten about us. And He's still with us. And He's never going to leave us. And He's never going to forsake us. God's good. Hezekiah said, I'm going to praise you today. It was days of inspiration to praise the Lord. Psalms 150 verse 6 says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. He said, I'm going to praise you as I do this day. Number 4, it was days of instruction. In verse number 19, the last part of that verse, he said, The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. Then it says, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. It was days of instruction. Hezekiah was like a whole lot of us parents. Now he's the king. You say, preacher, I'm awful busy. I know you're busy and we're all busy, but I doubt we're more busy than the king was. And I'm sure the king was like a lot of us. He probably spent more time on the job that he did with his family. He probably spent more time in council with his leaders and military men and counselors and things like that and his own children over here. But he said in verse number 19, the father to the children shall make known thy truth. In the days I've got left, I'm going to spend that time on my children. There's a lot of things going on in this world, but I'm telling you, there's nothing more important than your family. There's nothing more important than your children. I've said this many, many times in teaching over at the school. Talking to men in the ministry, if you lose your family, you've lost your ministry. See, preachers are the worst in the world. Go here, go there, and being called upon to go here and do this and spend time over there. And it's very easy to neglect your own family, but if you lose your family, you've lost your ministry. You say, preacher, I'm not in the ministry. Yeah, but if you lose your family, you've lost the most valuable thing, the most precious thing God has ever given to you. It's very easy to get caught up in life and going and doing and making money and paying bills and all those things. But don't you forget about your children. They're only going to be little once. And that don't last long. They get grown and they get gone. And he said, I'm going to spend time with my children. I'm going to invest in them. I'm going to teach them the truth. You can think about providing a good education, and we're all for that, and that's a great thing. But if they go to the best schools in the land, and they sit under the best teachers, and they get the highest degree, if they grow up and they don't know the Lord, you have shortchanged them. Now, we can't make them accept the Lord Jesus, but we need to provide everything that they need to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to teach them. We need to be an example before them in faith and in what it looks like to live and be a child of God. And he said, I am going to spend this time, and I'm going to invest it in my children, and I'm going to make known to my children the truth. It was days of instruction. Nobody gets to the end and says, I wish I'd have spent more time on the job. Nobody gets to the end and says, you know, I wish I'd have made more money or any of those things. But a lot of people get down to the end and they say, boy, my children, I wish I'd have spent more time. Billy Sunday, great, great evangelist. Went all over America, put up gospel tents. Hundreds of thousands of people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry, but during all those years and all that time, he neglected his family. His children grew up. They didn't know the Lord. Billy Sunday, on his deathbed, he said, I've gained the world, but I've won the world, but I've lost my children. Lost my children. We can't make them. We can't twist their arm, but boy, I don't want my children to go up and say, you know, Dad was never there. I told somebody the other day, I was talking about taking Chloe skiing. I said, I took Chloe skiing. I said, preachers' children cannot play sports in this day and time. Everything's on Wednesday and Sunday. I said, so I'm not going to feel bad about taking my child skiing. I'm going to spend time with her. I'm going to do something with them. I'm not going to neglect her. Them, I don't think I neglected any of them. They still like to be around us pretty good. But we feed them pretty good too. Maybe that's got something to do with it. It's days of instruction. Hezekiah wanted to spend his bonus days on them. Number five, last of all, bonus days can be incredible days. It's very easy this morning to say, preacher, that sounds good and everything, but it's too late for me. I've wasted time. My days are gone. My children are grown. Let me show you something real quickly. Look at verses 6 through 8. We didn't read that. God told Hezekiah in verse number 5, I'll add unto thy days 15 years. Verse number 6, the Bible said, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down. What happened there? What happened was this. As a sign to Hezekiah that the Lord was going to do this thing, God literally turned physical time back. Wouldn't be a big deal for it to get darker earlier, but it stayed light longer. The degrees, the sundial, that's how they measured time. It went the opposite direction. That was God showing Hezekiah, I can turn back time. Now, God's not going to turn back time for us. You know, they say what is that? 50's the new 60, or 30's and 40's the new 30, whatever. That's hogwash. If you're 40, you're 40. If you're 50, you're 50. You're not going to wake up in the morning and be 10 years younger. I don't care what you wipe on your face. It's just not going to happen. But I'll tell you what the Lord can do in our lives. The Lord can cause us to be able to redeem the time. Ephesians 5 and 16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Making the best use of our time. When we make the best of our bonus days, God can turn back the time. God can, in a sense, give us back the things that we've lost. He can restore relationships. He can change situations and circumstances and all of those things. Joel 2:25, I used to know a family, and the wife claimed this verse and talked about how since she became a Christian, Joel 2:25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. God said, I'll give you back what the locusts have eaten up. God can turn back the time, so to speak. Has anybody ever wasted time or wasted years as a Christian? I have. You ever spend time and look back on it and say, boy, that whole time I wasted. I look back, I think about when I was about, and I was saved when I was 9. I was backslid, would be the best way to put it, from about 14 to about 18 years old. I surrendered to preach when I was on my 21st birthday. But especially early on, I look back at that wasted time, and the devil used to just parade that before me all the time. How are you going to preach to these people? They know how you were in high school, and they know what you did, and they know how you talk, and they know what you done. I hated that I'd wasted that time, and I still hate that I'd wasted that time. But you know what? As the years have gone by, I think even the devil's partly forgot about that, because he don't remind me near as much as he used to. And as the years have gone by, I can honestly say, yes, I wasted that time, but God has given me much more time to serve Him than I ever didn't. He's given me and blessed me. It's how we spend our days and what we put into our days. But I said this is how we ought to spend our bonus days. Keep your place here. Look quickly in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Now, one of our books at school that teaches through the whole summary of the Bible, it talked about Hezekiah and his bonus 15 years and what great years those were. But as I study and I read and compare Scripture with Scripture, here's an amazing thing that we find out is that Hezekiah intended to spend his bonus days well, but he did not carry out with it. What we've read about in Isaiah 38 is what happened right after he began to get better. But do you know what? He didn't spend those days like he said he was going to. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32 and verse number 24, here's what the Bible said. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. That's where God turned back the sundial. But verse 25 says, but Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. For his heart was lifted up, therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. I've got that highlighted in my Bible. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. He intended to spend his bonus days well, but he did not. Let me give you three things and I'll be done. I'm going back to Isaiah chapter 38. He should have spent his bonus days. They should have been incredible days and days of instruction and inspiration and introspection and all of these things, but they were actually just wishful days. He determined to spend his days better, but he didn't. They were just wishful days. Do you know what? It's real easy when a tragedy or a scare comes to say, oh, I'm going to do better. But then you realize the tragedy didn't come, or time goes on, and you just go right back to where you were before. That happens all the time. Kim and I were talking about her being sick, and then she's so much better, and she's so much healthier, and we've been able to do things, and we're so thankful for that. But if we're not careful, it's just real easy to just go back how it was before. And we were talking about, and she was talking with other people that she goes to the gym with, and I don't understand this because I've not been there, but a lot of cancer survivors, they have what's called survivor's guilt. You know, actually feeling bad that they got better and other people didn't. Shouldn't be guilty about what God's done for you, but you ought to spend every day as a bonus day. God gave you days that other people didn't get. Better count them precious. Not just say, oh, I got better, that was scary, and go right back the way it was before. These are bonus days. But Hezekiah, they were wishful days. They were worldly days. If you look at Isaiah chapter number 39 and verse number 1, when Hezekiah began to get better, verse 1 said, at that time Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. This foreign king heard that Hezekiah had been sick and sent him a letter in presence, and Hezekiah, that just filled him with pride, and he took them fellows around and he said, let me give you a tour of the kingdom and let me show you all of our riches. He got lifted up with pride. And he said, there's nothing that I have not showed them. And we'll not read all of it, but if you read the rest of the chapter, Isaiah came and he said, what have you showed them? And Hezekiah said, there's nothing I've not showed them. And the Lord said, the day's going to come where there's nothing going to be left. Because of what you've done, God said, going to be destroyed. He was lifted up in pride. This heathen came along and sent him a letter and sent him a present, and he thought more of that than he did what the Lord had done for him. They were worldly days. They were wasted days. You actually don't even read of anything spectacular or great that Hezekiah did in these 15 years. All of his greatness and all of his glory and all of his accomplishments actually up to the time that he got sick, but after he got sick and got better, nothing. He just intended to spend the days well, but he didn't do it. They were wishful days and worldly days and wasted days. I don't know how many days I've got, but I don't want my days to be wasted. We ought to have a desire in our heart and in our life that our time for the Lord would not be wasted. That no matter where we are in our life, no matter our circumstance, no matter our job situation, sometimes in a long life of working, all of us go through this. There's times we don't like it, we like it better. When we don't like it, we tend to just absolutely give up on everything. If you don't like it, you got to realize you're still the Lord's child. And He might have you in a certain place at a certain time for something more than pushing buttons or whatever. There might be somebody there that He wants you to witness to, and you're the only one that can. No matter where we are, He's got us there for a reason. Not everything in life is mountaintop. There are valleys, but He's still God in the valley. And it's still a bonus day. And they'll get better and they'll get worse. And they'll get better and they'll get worse. That's how life is. But every day is a bonus day and ought to be lived for Him and to Him and praise Him because He gave it to us. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.